Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2464 with a release date of Friday, January 17th, 2025 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A repeater system stays robust during California's deadly wildfires. De-expeditioners pursue a Holy Grail island in India for chasers. And shortwave ingenuity saves a ham radio program's debut. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2464 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Union, Kentucky, here's Neil Rapp, WB9 VPG.
Our top story takes us to the U.S. state of California, where deadly wildfires have been consuming much of the Los Angeles area and beyond, destroying homes and causing electrical and cellular outages. Even as SpaceX temporarily activated the test version of its satellite-to-cellular service to help deliver emergency alerts and texts, hams were relying on the region's robust and resilient PAPA system of repeaters, as we hear from Ralph Scolacci, KK6 ITB.
As wildfires whipped through the Los Angeles area, the analog repeaters of California's wide-reaching PAPA system had their nets and routine traffic communications canceled for a number of days. The repeaters were placed on standby for news and emergency traffic only, but by Tuesday, January 14th, all but three returned to net hosting and normal use. Three repeaters remained off the main network to continue providing emergency coverage in the greater Los Angeles area. The PAPA system's digital repeaters, which utilize DMR, P25, and D-Star, continued to host normal traffic. Cecil Casillas, WD6FZA, president of the PAPA system, told Newsline that as of Tuesday the 14th, none of the PAPA repeaters had suffered fire-related damages. He said that flames closely threatened repeaters on Mount Wilson and at Saddle Peak, which overlooks Malibu, but the fires stopped short of affecting the buildings, antennas, or other equipment. He said the Saddle Peak repeater had been knocked out of service by an unrelated battery failure, but that the fires blocked access for anyone to bring up a generator. Meanwhile, SpaceX gave temporary access to its Starlink satellites to T-Mobile customers, even without its direct-to-cell constellation being fully completed. According to an article in PC Magazine, only T-Mobile customers with supported phones would have access to texting, but emergency alerts and evacuation notices could be received by any cellular phone. This is Ralph Scolacci, KK6 ITB.
This week we have word that a rare, largely inaccessible island off the coast of India is about to be activated for only the second time, and the first time in 23 years. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, has the details.
Writing in the December 2002 issue of the Old 73 magazine, Sri VU2SBJ called Sacrifice Rock a harsh, unwelcoming island off the coast of Kirrilloo in southern India, a plain, solid rock in the middle of nowhere. 11 months earlier, this treacherous bit of terrain was activated for the first time by Sri and his de-expedition team, who were challenged by its difficult access and changeable weather. No hams have been there since. That is, until now. Iota number AS161, as it is also known, is about to become a base camp for Team AU2V, six amateurs who are among many to consider it a holy grail. The de-expedition website calls it a dream come true for chasers. Sarah, VU2RS, told Newsline in an email that planning and preparation have been intense in advance of the hoped-for visit in the second week of February, when the three-month seasonal window for access closes. The team will have two CW operators and four using SSB and digital modes, and is still working out logistics for its hours of operation. The team also continues critical fundraising via PayPal to cover what is expected to be $10,000 in expenses, covering generators, radios, antennas, and, of course, the boat that will make that challenging trip across the water to the team's destination. And if that's not possible to arrive safely by boat, the team will need to use an airplane, which will add to the costs. See the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org for the team's website and PayPal address. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
The ham radio world has lost a top DXer, a friend, and a supporter of Newsline's Young Ham of the Year award. We hear more about him from Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
We at Amateur Radio Newsline are mourning the passing of Dennis Machenbacher, K7BV. Dennis passed from this world on Thursday, January 9th, after a 14-year battle with cancer. He was 76. Dennis was passionate about amateur radio. He was first licensed at age 13. An avid DXer, he was equally at home on both sides of the pileup. His amateur radio travels took him to 35 countries. He competed in the World Radio Sport Team Championships in Slovenia in 2000 and won countless awards for his ham radio accomplishments. He served as a radioman for 2 years in the U.S. Navy in Vietnam on the USS Canberra. From 1976 to 2002, Dennis worked in the fire suppression industry. He was editor of the National Contest Journal from 1998 until 2002. After that, he was sales and marketing manager for the ARRL. From 2006 to his retirement in 2019, he was executive vice president of amateur radio sales at Yaesu USA. Dennis was a fixture on stage at the Huntsville Hamfest for the presentation of our Young Ham of the Year Award. Some years ago, Gigaparts did a live online TV presentation at the Huntsville Hamfest, and it was my honor as one of the hosts to spend about 20 minutes chatting with Dennis as my guest. You can find that on the Gigaparts YouTube channel or at the link in the printed edition of this week's newscast. A devoted family man, we send our love to his wife, children, and grandchildren. Rest easy, my friend. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
Are you ready for Winter Field Day? If you're in the U.S. or Canada, get your plans in order now. Travis Lisk in 3ILS tells us more.
In North America, Winter Field Day will be held, as always, during the last full weekend of January. But there are some changes this year. This emergency preparedness test of portable equipment under harsh weather conditions has been extended past its previous 24-hour period. Clubs and individual amateurs are being encouraged to register their stations for this event, which has grown since the first Winter Field Day held in 2007. Operators are permitted to use HF, VHF, and UHF bands for CW, single sideband, and digital modes. The operating period is now 30 hours long and will begin at 1600 UTC Saturday, January 25th, and conclude at 2159 UTC the following day. Both indoor and outdoor stations are permitted, as are mobile stations, whether they be moving or stationary. For more details about the rules and to register your station, visit the Winter Field Day website at winterfieldday.org. That's winterfieldday, one word, .org. This is Travis Lisk and 3ILS.
Students in government residential schools in rural parts of the Indian state of Karnataka can now reach out and touch the world with the help of digital mobile radio, or DMR. John Williams, VK4JJW, explains how the radios got there.
20 new DMR radio base stations are opening up the world to students in rural schools run by the state of Karnataka's Social Welfare Department. The installation was done by the Indian Institute of Hams at the request of the state. According to news reports in the Hindu and the Bangalore Mirror, science teachers and a pair of 8th grade students from a number of the schools received online training for their amateur radio licenses and then successfully sat the exam from the Ministry of Communications. The radios are designed to give the students access to scientists, researchers, and others in the amateur radio community who would normally be inaccessible from within their remote rural communities. The radios are available to be operated around the clock. Just as significantly, the radios are available so the schools can serve as emergency communication centers when disaster strikes and the remote regions are likely to be cut off from many services. The initiative is called Ham Yatra and spans the state. The Ham Institute's director, S. Satyapol, told local media. He said he hoped the radios would open a window of curiosity for the students about opportunities in the world of science. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the NO6BS repeater on Thursday evenings in Los Angeles County, California. The National Voice of America Museum of Broadcasting in Westchester, Ohio is QRV and is about to reopen. Stephen Kinford, N8WB, brings us the details.
6 months of renovations have come to an end at the Voice of America Museum, which is reopening its doors to the public at noon on Saturday, the 25th of January. The work has created new exhibit space with room for more displays that showcase radio history in the U.S. The building formerly housed the Voice of America's Bethany Relay Station. The museum will be open every Saturday and Sunday from noon to 4 p.m. local time, but can also accommodate group tours on any day of the week if arrangements are made in advance. The Westchester Amateur Radio Association, WC8VOA, has its headquarters in the historic building and has had uninterrupted on-the-air activity even as remodeling took place elsewhere in the interior. As visitors return, hams will be on the air and, as always, ready to welcome them. This is Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
In India, the second largest Hindu gathering, the Gangasar Mela, is presenting a variety of opportunities for DX and award scheme participation. That's because hams on DXpedition there are also involved in a public safety mission at this massive religious pilgrimage. Jim Meechins at L2BHF tells us what's happening.
Where the Ganges River and the Bay of Bengal run together, the faithful gather every year. Hams from the West Bengal Radio Club, VU2WB, have been on Sagar Island since the 10th of January, operating AU2WBRC. They are there to help keep people safe as they come to worship, and they are helping visitors who get lost in the crowd reunite with their families. The hams have another mission too, making contact with radio operators around the world. Those logging a QSO with any of the operators qualify for a number of award schemes, including Islands on the Air, which identifies Sagar Island as AS-153. The location also qualifies Under the Beaches on the Air as number 60572 and World Lighthouses on the Air schemes as Lighthouse 2262. This is Jim Meechin, ZL2BHF.
Mark your calendars for January 23rd. You might just work someone in the Royal Netherlands Army Signal Regiment during a one-day special event with a very specific purpose to get the Marines in the Netherlands more involved in amateur radio. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, has the details.
Special Event Station PA25MC has a military mission, but one focused on education and friendship. On the 23rd of January, the Royal Netherlands Army Signal Regiment, PI4VBD, will be operating from various locations using military radios, some of them historical. There will also be a variety of operators. Some are experienced members of the Army, others are soldiers in training, some may even be civilian personnel. They will be calling CQ on as many HF bands as possible using SSB. The Signal Regiment itself is a well-established group that appreciates the importance of amateur radio. Last year it marked its 150th anniversary. For QSL information, see the QRZ.com page for PA25MC. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
In the world of DX, be listening for the call sign 5N9DTG, being used by members of the Rebel DX group. They will be on the air from Nigeria for up to 3 weeks, starting in the third week of January. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Team IG9-S51V will have several members on the air between the 19th and the 29th of January, operating with the prefix IG9 followed by their home call signs, including S56DX, S51V, S57UN, and several others. They will also be participating in the CQ Worldwide 160 meters CW contest as a multi-single entry using the team call sign IG9-S51V, all from Lampedusa Island, IOTA number AF019, QSL via the operator's home calls. See QRZ.com for additional details. Listen for OF60AP being used by members of the Central Usima Radio Amateurs Association, OH2AP in Finland. The club is marking its 60th anniversary with this year-long special event. See QRZ.com for certificate and QSL details. Dwight, VE7BV, is using the call sign TG9BBV until the 28th of January from Guatemala. He is operating CW, sideband, and some FT8. Look for Dwight on 40 through 6 meters. See his personal QRZ.com page for QSL details. There's a saying in theater that even if you encounter hardship, the show must go on. Well, the theater of radio is no exception to that rule. In our final story this week, we learn how an important amateur radio program weathered the storm, literally, to fulfill a promised shortwave broadcast premiere. Here's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, with the details.
Listeners had counted on hearing the first shortwave broadcast of the DARC's amateur news program from Wolferton, England, but no one had counted on the severe storm that was bearing down on the west of England. The damage rendered 7 of the station's 35 antennas unusable, leaving the 9670 kHz broadcast imperiled as the hour for the start of the program drew near. The technical team scrambled and, on short notice, improvised. They crash-started another transmitter and a different antenna, so they were able to put the program on the air just as expected, on time and on frequency. In an announcement to listeners on Sunday the 12th of January, Radio DARC's Rainer Englert, DF2NU, thanked the Wolferton team, saying, quote, "This incident shows once again that technicians help each other and do everything humanly possible," end quote. Although reception reports varied unexpectedly because of the different equipment employed, over 1,000 listeners' emails poured in praising the program. Rainer proclaimed the premiere a success. The Wolverton station had saved Radio DARC for its listeners after the closure of its previous shortwave broadcaster in Mosbrunn, Austria, had been obliged to close down. Meanwhile, the station reports that the original antennas have since been repaired and their original configuration restored. The show will indeed go on. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Have you sent in your amateur radio haiku to Newsline's Haiku Challenge yet? It's as easy as writing a QSL card. Set your thoughts down using traditional haiku format, a three-line verse with 5 syllables in the first line, 7 in the second, and 5 in the third. Submit your work on our website at arnewsline.org. Each week's winner gets a shout-out at our website where everyone can find the winning haiku. With thanks to the Amateur Radio Daily, Bangalore Mirror, Cecil Casillas, WD6FZA, David Bihar, K7DB, Facebook, 425DX News, The Hindu Website, PC Magazine, QRZ.com, Radio DARC, RadioWorld.com, Sarah VU2RS, ShortwaveRadio.de, The National Voice of America Museum of Broadcasting, Winter Field Day Association, Wireless Institute of Australia, YouTube, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, non-profit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG in Union, Kentucky, saying 7-3, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2025, all rights reserved.